This is Bragging Rights, a show all about college football, where the conversations are lively, the topics are trivial, and the hosts are semi-knowledgeable. And now, here are your hosts, Madison and Pierce.
Welcome into another edition of Bragging Rights. Week 2 is in the books, and it was one that we will remember for a long, long time. And we'll get into all of that. But before we do, I need to introduce my co-host. My name is Madison. I'm joined, as always, by brother Pierce. Pierce, how are you?
I'm great. It's funny. I woke up this morning and really towards the end of yesterday. And as excited and as much as I feel alive and at my peak during football season, it's just the best time of the year. I'm such a football nerd. I can't get enough of it. I got to admit, today I was kind of brain dead from watching all that football. My brain and my viewing capability, it's not conditioned quite yet. Obviously, having missed week one due to a wedding, week two, I was going to try and consume as much football as I possibly could, and I succeeded. And boy, my brain hurts. I mean, I had trouble listening to any sort of college football pod. I just needed to disconnect for most of the day because a lot went on. I will say, though, and having the NFL back, it's a different animal, having Sundays and, those first games, the noon for us, it would be 1 o'clock for you. Those early games, those are just, that's some of the most enjoyable 3.5 hours of sport viewing that you'll ever see. But I will say we saw, there was a moment, I don't know if you got to watch most of this game, but there was a moment in the Bama game early on where those boys were out there just flying around, just popping people. The pads were popping. There were big hits. There were smack talking. And I thought, boy, it's nice to finally get one of these early in the season because that's what the sport, when it's at its best. And when you get two teams in that environment and they're going all out, it's a special to see. So it was a great, enjoyable weekend. And unfortunately, hope you got your fill because this upcoming weekend is not very good.
Yeah, you kind of took the wind from beneath my sails because I was about to say, week one, didn't have great matchups. Week two, we were like, oh my gosh, this is great. This is what I've been waiting for. And then now we're back into, oh my gosh, this is bleak. And I told Pierce off podcast, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do for the pick'em because I don't know if I can find 10 games that we care about to talk about and break down. So let alone that you at home care to listen to. So It will get better. Conference play is starting up here and it will start to get better hopefully. But right now it is, at least it's football. It is football. There's something to be played. And with NFL joining the ranks as well, there's at least, good games on Sunday and Monday and hopefully Thursday. Although, those have been lackluster as well. The thing about this past week, Pierce, I am doing the opposite of you. I haven't really had a chance to just sit and consume football. Typically, the way my viewing goes is I start the season off and I'm just like, oh my gosh, every bit of football I can get. I'm not going to lie. I sometimes get burned out like about 3/4 of the way through the season and I start kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm like, I don't want it to go. And I'm also excited to kind of be able to talk and think about other things. This year, I'm doing the opposite. I haven't really been able to sit and just watch games live as they're happening at all. Week one, I was in Austin for the podcast live show. Week two, it just so happened to line up that it was a beach girls trip that I had planned, not really thinking about it back when I planned it, that, oh yeah, this is week two of the college football season. I just saw Georgia was playing Ball State. I thought, who cares? And so I did end up seeing most of the Texas-Alabama game, second half at least, sat up at the rooftop of Bud Nally's and enjoyed a crab cake and watched that. And I will say there was a fair amount of Texas people and a fair amount of Alabama people at that bar, and I found myself wanting to root against both of them. So I ended up rooting for Texas just because I do have them in the pick'em to go to the playoffs, and that obviously prevailed. But I found myself, when there would be roars of cheers from both fan bases, I was like, oh God, I hate both of them. Oh my gosh, I hate both of them. There wasn't anybody that really felt good to cheer for. So no offense if you're a Bama or a Texas fan listening. It's just that I got too much Georgia in me. All right. Let's go here, Pierce. Let's talk about week two and the games that we got to watch, consume, and what we liked around the country. Good, bad, and ugly. I won't lie. I didn't think there was anything really super ugly this week. I thought most of it was good, and a lot of it was bad. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Some of it was good. Most of it was bad. Not a lot of ugly. I struggle with that. I know that you kind of brought that up as a result, because there is one conference that we know near and dear to our hearts that is not not playing the best football as they potentially could. So I'll jump in here, Pierce. I'll go with my good first, and it is the Texas Longhorns. Like we already talked about a little bit, Texas getting the W in Tuscaloosa. A lot of talk about the dynasty. That's all well and good. And at some point we will do a retrospective on Alabama and, you know, the turning of the dynasty and when that happened. But really here, Pierce, what the name of the game is, Texas and Texas being back. And we've joked about that for years and years, ever since Sam Ellinger said it after they beat Georgia. What was that? The Peach Bowl, I think, maybe Cotton Bowl. And he said, "Hey, Texas, we're back." And everybody has been
sure.
Sugar Bowl, thank you. Everybody's just absolutely been like, oh, is this the year? Is this the year? Well, it might finally be the year. Texas gets it done, 34-24. Jalen Milroe, I'm not going to lie, I had some silent hype building for him as an overreaction in my head after week one. He did not look good. And Texas, on the flip side of things, Quinn Ewers and his receivers, you know, there was some ugliness on that side of the ball too, with the Longhorns, but he absolutely shone. 24 of 38 for 349 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like I said already, Jalen Milroe, he did have 255 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, but he did have 2 interceptions as well. And here's what really got to me, Pierce, is in Tuscaloosa, to have the number of penalties that you have, very un-Nick Saban-like. It did not look like a Nick Saban coach team. So whether or not we're seeing the falling of the dynasty, I'm not sure, but I'm starting to think he might have lost his touch a little bit. He's not this young whippersnapper anymore. Not that he ever really was when he started coaching for Alabama, but he's, you know, damn near 80, for God's sakes. Like, I think he's just lost a little bit of what made him Nick Saban. And he might coach another 5 years and it'd be fine. But I don't think they could still make the playoffs. Anything could happen. The SEC West is still in play. But I think we're seeing stuff that normally doesn't happen to them in the last couple seasons. So, like I said, plenty of stuff to play for. But the real story here is what Texas did, and the fact that Quinn Ewers and company looks really good with a wide open looking slate. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but, you know, like I said, you're going to talk about the SEC at some point. I'm going to talk about some teams for the Big Ten. Those are the schools that have been in the hunt and playing for national championships. We saw what happened with Clemson in the first week of the regular season. So, I mean, Texas, the table is set for you to just absolutely have your way. So we'll see what they do the rest of the season. But that's my good performance of the week. The Longhorns in Tuscaloosa, which you don't see very often, getting it done, 34-24. And we'll see what happens. You know, hey, a lot of people are talking about this is the type of Texas team in the past who they'd go have a win like this, and then they turn around and they lose. They do have Wyoming this week. I don't think that's going to happen this year, but crazy things have happened. And hey, maybe this point of rooting for chaos. So that's my good. What's your good of the week, Pierce?
A number of good ways I could go with this one. I wrestled with a Notre Dame. I also wrestled with Oregon. I'm going to stay in the Pac-12 though, and go Washington State as they upset Wisconsin. Also, one reason I am highlighting this is this was my lone easy peasy win. So maybe I'm a bit biased here because they saved me what was an otherwise pretty down of a week. In particular, had some pretty bad beats. Washington State was the one bright spot. Underdog, 6-point underdog, winning outright. And Cam Ward and company looked good doing it. I mean, didn't put up crazy stats, not world beater stats, but didn't need to. This and he could have if he wanted to, but Cam Ward looks very comfortable in year two under or at Washington State. Their defense played well, had a fumble recovery in the end zone for a touchdown. So my big win here is Washington State, because you know, Wisconsin may not be what they're going to be in a year or two. They're not going to be what they are in a year or two, but they still have good players. And I was impressed to see Washington State really handle them defensively. And then Cam Moore just looked great. I mean, he was one of the better players out on the field, if not the best, for most of the night. So give me Washington State. You know, I don't know about you, but I've you know, you go through preseason magazines and we do our preseason predictions and all that, and a lot of it you kind of get caught up in all these, you know, nonsense and stories and this, that, and the other. And sometimes you kind of look at it and go, well, if I'm making a playoff prediction, to save myself some embarrassment here, I'm not going to go crazy out there with who I think might sneak into the playoffs. But man, after doing our preseason pods, after doing the research on my end, I have become fascinated. My two teams that I've loved watching and I think are flying under the radar this year, and I've been betting every week, is Oregon State and Washington State. The two forgotten teams out in the Pac-12, which don't have spots as of now in a Power 5 program after, I believe it's this season. Keep an eye on those two teams. Those two teams are, they just go out there and they play good defense and they've got some good playmakers and just play good football. So my good is Washington State out of the Pac-12.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. They're obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Wazoo and Oregon State with the Pac-12 and everything, but they, I mean, the Pac-12 looks good this year, and I would be not shocked to see them make some waves and everything of that nature. But yeah, you don't want to pull that Desmond Howard, to your point. You don't want to have anything that would make people go highlight it and go, what the heck was this person thinking? So we'll see. Crazier things have happened, but you know, I think for them to make some waves and shock some people would be great, but not the greatest result in week two of the Luke Fickell era. Let's flip over here, Pierce, to the bad performances of the week. And mine is actually a winner. Ohio State gets it done 35-7 over Youngstown State, which I'm looking at the box score right now. Admittedly, didn't watch every single snap of this one. Caught some highlights, mainly just followed along on Twitter. Of course, the people on Twitter are going to have meltdowns anytime that, you know, you get a sleepy start. But the thing about the Buckeyes is I wouldn't necessarily call this a bad performance if it weren't for the 23-3 result last week, too. That's not going to win the Big Ten. Michigan had a sleepy start as well. They didn't necessarily, you know, go out there and boat race UNLV. But you got to not only handle, but you need to kind of, you would like to think in the first couple weeks of the season when you are playing these cupcakes, like you got two basically cupcake teams. I know one's a conference play, but still. You really want to look good. And I'm not sure that they've got a good quarterback there at Ohio State. Like I said, stats will lead you to believe that there is. But based on what I heard and what I saw, I mean, I'm a little bit nervous for this Ohio State team. I think they can potentially get tripped up a couple times. Now, I know you've got them winning the national championship and anything could happen. Maybe they turn around. But they got Western Kentucky this week. I don't think that's going to be a loss. But if I'm looking ahead in 1 week, Pierce, they got to go to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame looks good, and I think that's when the wheels could potentially really fall off for this Ohio State team. An Ohio State team that was right there on the precipice of winning a national championship last year, and there's been a lot of talk about, well, you know, of course they're struggling at a quarterback. It's so hard to go from good quarterback. I mean, Justin Fields, CJ Stroud. I mean, you can keep naming them. And now they've got Devin Brown and Kyle McCord, and I just don't think that either of these guys are going to light it up for the Buckeyes. So they're my bad performance of the week with a win. Like I said, anything could happen. We could look back at the end of the season and be like, oh, remember when we thought that they were done for because they had slow starts to with Indiana and Ball State. But I don't know. When a team shows you who they are a couple weeks in a row, I believe them. So I'll be staying away from Ohio State probably for the majority of the rest of the season because of those sleepy starts. All right, Pierce, what's your bad performance of the week?
It's a little harsh. I got to admit, I like it. A little harsh. But that Notre Dame game is going to be interesting. I do want to tie in real quick to, sorry, I'm ruining your transition, but I do want to talk about that. I feel like more and more we're seeing some of these top teams, not blow out some of these lesser competitions, these lesser teams. And I'm starting to think that might be a benefit of the transfer portal. Maybe some of these guys who aren't getting playing time and may not be high division level prospects go down and play at an Austin Peay or go elsewhere. And you saw Clemson was down in the second quarter. Tennessee was struggling with Austin Peay. They gave them everything they could handle. So much so, I saw some Tennessee fans on Twitter saying we should never schedule Austin Peay again. Georgia struggled a little bit last week and again a little bit in the first quarter this week, obviously got the job done as and got better as the game went on. But I think you're seeing some of these top teams, they're just so fearful of showing, future opponents any sort of game tape that could really hinder their game plan, that you're just seeing people kind of going through the motions this year. And maybe that'll change if a couple people start slipping up, because then it's like, well, we can't take these teams lightly anymore. But until then, I think you're going to continue to see some of these big boy teams struggle when you don't have a high flying offense like a USC, when you kind of rely on a good defense. But my bad, speaking of a team with very little defense, is Texas A&M Aggies. How do you like that transition? Texas A&M, and I contemplated putting them in the ugly category. You know, getting off to what, a 17, I think it was 17-7 or 17-3 start, the way that they did, you know, recovering a muff punt, scoring on another, I believe it was another special teams play, you know, and then losing the way that they did, it's just, we've said it for, I feel like we've said it for a year or so now, this is just not working with Jimbo Fisher. He seems too stubborn in who he hires. He seems like he just wants to be the guy. Obviously, he brought in Petrino. How much of the offense Petrino is actually calling? I actually thought the offense wasn't terrible. Wegman showed flashes. I'm not sure that they're as good as they could be with the talent level that they have, but they've got some good receivers. But on defense, man, this team is just, they can't figure it out. And then it got worse as the game went on, and really towards the end of the end of the fourth quarter, even when they still had a chance to potentially fight back and come from behind, just the lack of effort, on the defensive end when it came to tackling, you know, was just appalling to me. You know, they got DJ Durkin from Ole Miss a couple years ago, and people at Ole Miss were like, oh no, DJ Durkin did so well for us, overperformed or outperformed what the expectations were, and especially with the caliber of player they had. And man, it just seems like this Texas A&M defense just keeps going backwards. They've got the talent, they've got dudes up front. But yeah, one of the things that's tough to teach is effort, and it doesn't seem like the Texas A&M team wants to dig deep and improve and get to that next level. They just seem like they're okay getting beat a couple times pretty bad, and you know, if they go 7, 8, 9 wins, and they're okay. Obviously, this Texas A&M team, I didn't have, you know, sniffing the playoffs this year. 8, 9 wins would be a success, I believe, for them, but they need to show improvement on the defense side of the ball, because that's when you're showing a lack of effort, specifically when it comes to tackling, You're not going to beat many people in this league, because they're just going to run right through you or over you. So my bat of the week is Texas A&M, and certainly bordered on the ugly side.
Yeah, not great. And you know, they still have the SEC West totally open. They could still potentially win it, but you go to Miami. I picked them. I was high on them. I thought Texas A&M was going to do something here. I thought they turned a corner. And I think, to your point, Jimbo Fisher might not be the guy. In 6 years, the every single excuse in the book has been made for him. And how many times we have to hear, let him get his guys in, let him do his thing. At this point, you should have your guys in. You should have, you know, things should be working. And every single year, they just look a little lifeless. Or there's just something that's just not quite working with Texas A&M. So not quite sure what'll be next for them. But yeah, firmly on the hot seat, I do believe, with their full schedule to go. All right, let's talk about the ugly of the week. This is where I struggled a little bit, because nobody really was like, oh my gosh, atrocious Clemson level last week, LSU week one level. So I'm going to go with your suggestion, which is the Pitt Panthers. They lose at home to the Cincinnati Bearcats 27-21. Phil Jurkovich, after the game, made a comment. He did get booed, and he made a comment that, I think it's pathetic. If you're a grown-ass man booing in the stadium, you got to look at yourself. And he said, I think that it's pathetic. But you know what? We didn't play well, so we're going to do better. So yes, understandably, but if you respond to comments like that, that just shows they're under your skin. You know, going back to when he was at Boston College, he was a name that you just had in the tip of your tongue all the time about a guy that you were very high on. He never really got to Boston College. Now here at Pitt, doesn't necessarily look like it's any better here. Cincinnati, who a lot of people thought were going to be one of the worst teams in the Big 12, they get it done. And I don't necessarily think that that was because they were their world beaters or anything like that. I think it's just because this Pitt team, not very good. You got to win those kinds of games at home, and to lose by 6. I could also throw out there, the North Carolina Tar Heels have to go to double overtime to beat App State after, just an absolutely phenomenal first game where we thought to ourselves, holy crap, North Carolina is so good in week one because of how much they had beaten South Carolina, to turn around and have to go to double overtime with App State at home to win that game. That's where you go, okay, I'm not quite sure North Carolina is all that good. I think maybe South Carolina is just that bad. They did give up 21 to Furman, for what it's worth, this week, in their win. So, yeah, that's another notable one too, is the North Carolina Tar Heels. And so, yeah, I mean, in a week where there wasn't a lot of ugly, I was able to find two. How about that? Pierce, what's your ugly of the week?
My ugly of the week, and you could probably be more specific on this and say the SEC West, but it's the SEC as a whole. You know, thank God for Mississippi State this weekend, barely squeaking one out against Arizona, which I think in hindsight, you know, towards the end of the season, you're going to see that that's not a terrible, terrible score. Arizona is improving. They may not be where they want to be quite yet, but they're improving. You got Auburn going out to Cal, and they looked atrocious. I mean, they were very fortunate to get that win. You know, Cal has some guys, but they're not a very dynamic team. And a 14-10 win, that was just an ugly. I can't believe I stayed up and watched that. Alabama getting beat, LSU getting beat by FSU. Those two teams were expected to make big jumps back up into the playoff, you know, picture this year. They look like they're kind of same old as last year. That will be good to get to the SEC championship potentially, but not good enough to get to the playoff. You know, it's just the SEC. Maybe are they taking a step back this year? Are other, you know, other teams getting to the level that the SEC is? Are there conferences? You know, the Big Ten's been right there for a couple years now, top to bottom. You could probably argue that they're better than the SEC. The SEC might have the better, you know, top level competition, but you've got a lot of teams. It's returning to a nationwide sport, it seems. And it seems like what that's doing is hurting the SEC. It seems like a lot of talent might be exploring elsewhere. You got your NIL opportunities in Southern California. You can get the same amount of money, you know, in Tallahassee as you do in Athens and so on and so forth. So as of now, it's got to be the SEC. There weren't, you could find ugly in every single game. And every, even if you win, you can find ugly. I didn't think there was a ton of ugly this week. Outside of you know, Pitt, which I thought was just, I mean, I expected them to be a very sneaky team. I think FSU's looking at that game, which some people had penciled as a sleeper game that they could get upset in. I think they're probably looking at that and taking a sigh of relief. You know, Clemson was ugly in the first half, but then kind of got it going in the second. You know, there was definitely some ugly, but I think that what the SEC has done to open, I mean, the SEC has always really prided themselves on not just winning, you know, having the national champion most year, but really going in and winning against, you know, other conferences, in particular the Pac-12, and doing it in the Big 12, and doing it in pretty big fashion. And I think you're seeing this year that there are some other schools and some other conferences that have really taken that next step. I mean, look at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame had a fantastic week this week. They look like this might be the best Notre Dame or the most well-rounded. I don't know what their depth is like, but the most well-rounded Notre Dame team that we might have seen in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Certainly, they scare me as a potential playoff team. And if we had to, if my team had to play them over the Manti Te'o team, because they really couldn't do as much offensively as this team with Sam Hartman. So you're seeing the SEC. It seems like other teams and conferences are starting to catch up to the SEC. So while they did get a couple wins with Mississippi State and Auburn this week, I think my ugly of the week has got to go to SEC, because they're off to a less than stellar start to this season.
Agreed with you there. It's not fantastic in hand up. I am a little bit nervous about Georgia because of it. I don't necessarily think you need to your point earlier, I think you've got a lot of teams at the top who aren't showing their full playbook, but then you've got a Notre Dame who is unloading the clip every single time. So I'm not really sure what to make of it, but we'll see when it's just going to be fascinating, because it kind of feels a little bit like it's anybody's game. Call that the transfer portal, call it NIL, unsure. It certainly is going to be more interesting this season. I still think one of the teams that you've seen win it in the past is going to win it. But it's certainly going to be a more interesting ride to get there than it has been over the past few decades. All right. That is our good, our bad, and our ugly. Just a quick little check-in before we let you take it off with your dudes. This last week on the Pick'em, number one, for week two is, our dear old dad, 18-5. On the week, tied for second, Carly Rebs 2023 and Jeff Prifty 17-6, and then tied for fifth, myself and Hank 16-7. That for the season so far puts Carly and myself tied at the very top, 33-16, and Grant and Tim still there holding it in at the second spot. And because I forgot to do it last week, last season I got a suggestion But it was something that seemed to be a little bit more than a suggestion of let's go through and talk about those pick'ems and how those games went, so that if you're just listening at home, you know what happened. Let me pull that up really quick. It's taken me a second because I totally forgot I was going to do this. I just told Pierce, I was like, we're going to do this thing. We're going to do the Grant Caudill
scoreboard,
and I forgot.
I could pick up a couple things here and run through what we picked in last week with our 10 games.
Yeah, and just you had a sucky week.
Real quick. I went 5-5. Well, did Arizona State cover?
Yes. No, they did not.
Okay, well then, yeah, I did have a sucky week. And you went four and six. You're getting me on a tangent here, but you know what's so sick? I'm looking at this, and I did bet on probably like 5 or 6 of these games, and every single – so I ended up taking Nebraska, which was in hindsight a bad pick. I ended up going Tulane, which I picked Ole Miss. That was one of my few winners this week. I bet Miami, thankfully. I bet Iowa. I switched to Texas in my betting. I bet Boise State. Thankfully, I stuck with Washington State, and I bet Cal. So it's kind of crazy to think that I had a bad week this week with the pocketbook. But yeah, it's crazy, man. You look back on these, and sometimes, you know, because we typically do these on Tuesday or Wednesday, it takes some time for me to really start to let the takes mold and my predictions mold and grow into the beautiful blossoming flower that they are on Saturday, which is a BS lie. But it is funny because I go back and probably half of these games I took somebody different when it actually came to my hard-earned money. But I can run through this real quick, and if you want to hit on the rest of the games, thought Colorado did great beating Nebraska, man, they've got some problems on offense with Jeff Sims. Tulane Ole Miss was a fun one to watch. I don't know if you got to tune in there. Tulane really impressed in the first half, specifically without their starting quarterback, Michael Pratt. That one scared me. I certainly would not have taken Tulane had I known that going into the game. But they battled, and Ole Miss, man, some gutsy play calling down the stretch, going for it on fourth down and getting that cover. A&M, we've already hit on that. Miami looked pretty darn good in that one. Iowa, getting a win against Iowa State. Ugly game to watch, as you hit on. Tall grass, that's all I'll say. Tall grass, everything looks slow. Texas obviously looked great against Alabama. Alabama's offensive line is not looking like what they, the joyless murder ball seems to be a lot of talk right now. And it does scare me that by, come the SEC championship game, if Georgia and Alabama meet, that Alabama will be a well-oiled machine by that point, because offensive lines do take time to mold. They are struggling here at the moment. UCF Boise State, that one was a fun game to watch. Boise State, I thought, was played well enough to win that game. UCF sneaks out as Malzahn teams tend to with a last second field goal. Washington State, we hit on it, looked really good in their win over Wisconsin. Wisconsin's just still they're breaking in new coaches. It's just going to take some time there. Mordecai looked a little bit better in his second game, but I think it's clear that they're still a quarterback away there. Arizona Mississippi State did not get to tune into much of this one, but seemed to be a pretty fun game to watch. Mississippi State sneaks it out. I think people are ragging on Mississippi State and the SEC, but Arizona's is a better team than most people think. Jaden Delora obviously is a pretty solid quarterback, and he's kind of like, he's one of those guys that if he pops, and he can pop any week, whoever they're playing is in trouble, because that guy can put up some points in a hurry. Cal Auburn was so freaking ugly, just a disgusting game to watch. Kept thinking Cal was going to pull away, because Auburn was giving them every chance to do so. Cal just couldn't really do much with it. So Auburn sneaks out a victory there, and did not watch Oklahoma State, Arizona State, so will not cover much of that.
Well, you kind of hit on all of it there, so I don't think I'm going to run through the score there. I'll do a better job of that next week, Grant, for you, so that we can make sure that we update everybody who's on the pick on us, as far as everything went, how you did. But you can log on there, fun fact, and you can look at each of the members' picks and just kind of see how everybody did. All right. That's going to do it for the good, the bad, the ugly portion of this, recap podcast. Pierce, do you want to take us through your dudes of the week?
Yeah, this dude, I've said him almost every week last year. He's really putting up great numbers and is going to be one of those guys that might make it to New York. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback from Washington, 28 of 38 for 409 yards, 3 TDs. Did have one interception, but man, this dude is slinging it all around the yard. A familiar face, old name, but familiar face to us, JT Daniels, QB at Rice. Yes, that's his fourth team in 5 or 6 years. 28 of 42 for 401 yards and three touchdowns. Did throw one pick, but man, really helped lead this Rice team to an upset win over Houston. Another guy I'm getting a feeling is going to be on here every single week. Part of that because there's not much better. There's not really a good run game to take away from his attempts. And also it seems like there's a concerted effort, which, hey, kudos to you, to get this guy as many possible attempts to try to load up the stats. Shedeur Sanders, QB at Colorado, 31 of 42 for 393 yards and two TDs. He's just having a stellar season to this point, and really the straw that stirs the drink there in Boulder. Old face again, but was on here a couple years ago, always putting up big numbers. Tyler Van Dyke, QB at Miami, 21 of 30 for 374 and five TDs in the big win over A&M. Seems like Miami might have their swagger back there. Certainly seems that they've gotten some of the coordinator hires right, and defensively was played much better than they did last year. And last QB on the list, Quinn Ewers. How could I not include the guy that went into Tuscaloosa and got the upset? 24-38 for 349 yards and three TDs as he gets to troll Alabama fans for the next 365 days of the year. Running back for UNC, Omarion Hampton, 26 carries for 234 yards and three TDs as they squeak out a victory against App State. I don't know if you saw, that game went to overtime. So UNC fans thinking, and people back in UNC as, oh, wow, they looked really good against South Carolina. They get humbled a bit and come back down to earth there, as they get lucky and squeak out one. Gage, and I hope this didn't autocorrect because it doesn't sound right, but Gage Larvadian. Larvadane, a wide receiver, Miami, Ohio, eight receptions for 273 yards and three TDs as they bounce back after their loss to Miami, Florida last week. And last but not least, the guy that Shedeur Sanders is throwing to the most, and no, it's not Travis Hunter, Xavier Weaver, wide receiver, Colorado, 10 receptions for 170 yards and a touchdown as he crosses the century mark for the second straight week. He's going to try to make it 3 of 3 next week against Colorado State, which, by the way, game day is going to.
I know. Let's see what kind of personal affront that he can cite after that game for why he was so motivated to get it done. Because that's a thing he's been every single week. So we'll see.
Hey, you know what's funny, though? Every time I keep hearing all this BS about, you know, all these crazy narratives, well, we're motivated because of this, that, and the other. We took it personally. The more I kind of love it, because as weird as some of the reasons are, that's exactly what Georgia does. Last year was the narrative was we were going to go 5-7.
100%.
You got to find ways to keep guys motivated. That's one of the most important things a head coach can do is find ways to keep your guys into it and motivated to get better each and every week. And, you know, it's a little, it's off the beaten path, but that's what Colorado's doing, and they're doing it well.
They are. We'll see what happens with them as they get into more of the crux of their schedule. Don't think Colorado State's going to hold them up too much, but it should be interesting. Pac-12, like I said earlier in the podcast, looks great. That's going to do it with our week 2 recap. We'll be back in just a little bit with our week 3 preview. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to potentially get included, want to turn our attention to when it comes to this upcoming preview episode, you can do it by reaching out to us on @BragginPod, Twitter or Instagram. I pretty much hold down the Instagram. Pierce pretty much holds down the Twitter. I know we both were posting some content. I was posting from the beach. I was feeling real good about myself. I was squinting into my phone, the bright, bright phone in the sunny day in Florida, and trying to post some stuff on social media. So we're stepping up our content game. Let us know if there's anything you want to see. Like I said, @BragginPod on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to get your picks in this week. I think you just have to have them in by Saturday. So if you're participating in that, you've got some time. But until we talk to you again, I'm Madison.
And I'm Pierce. Stay blessed, y'all.